nor was I taught it, rather I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hāke. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 19, beginning at the 23rd verse.
Praise and glory to God.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Te Rangapaiti Le Atakarati, this is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ and Lord. Thank you.
season in my early 20s when I turned my back on the Lord. Had nothing to do with Him at all. I stopped going to church, embraced the New Age thinking, dabbled in Eastern religion, and tried to keep my distance from anyone who was following Jesus. All that came to a dramatic end when one day my wife Jenny said to me she had invited Jesus into her heart. That was a big end to keeping my distance from people who were following Jesus. I didn't know what to think, but I felt deeply challenged by the decision. And a week later, I made peace with God. Like a farmer, waiting patiently for the land to produce a harvest, God waited patiently for me. And I'm sure you know He's waiting patiently for you. James writes about people who display godly patience in his short letter. People like us who chose to put God first. As they faced life's challenges, God developed reproved patience in them. This is what James has to say. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience, in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. When we choose to follow Jesus, we encounter the Holy Spirit, and He begins to develop divine patience in us through the challenges that we face. It may be a delay in finding a new job. It may be waiting for an estranged family member to reconnect. Or it may be waiting for emotional or physical healing. Last week, an old friend and colleague of ours, someone that I had worked with when I was on staff at Elam International Church in Wellington, suffered a stroke. He is in hospital recovery, and we, along with many others, are trusting God for his full recovery. But we know that patience will be involved. Sorry, Ian, I haven't been cueing you in on. Can we go to the next slide? According to Oxford Languages, patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Quite challenging, isn't it? It's being willing to wait or to persevere. It's long suffering. Jenny particularly likes that word, long suffering. It's the ability to endure without exploding. Patience is not about how long we wait, it's about how we wait. Not being annoyed or anxious. In James chapter 1 verse 4 we read, and we have the next slide in, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Patience is what enables us to mature, and it's also like fertilizer. It nourishes our relationships. When this microwave world, but we serve a slow cooker God. We want things now, instant downloads, same day shipping when you buy online, but patience doesn't develop in the fast lane. It grows in the soil of surrender, watered by waiting and ripened by time. God is growing something in us through today's trials that will sustain us and our relationships in the future. If we go to the next slide, thanks, Ian. Nelson Mandela's story of patience is defined by 27 years in prison for fighting against apartheid. His prison life demonstrated that patience is not passive waiting, but an active, powerful choice to grow, learn, and build a better future. This is what he said: "Do not judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again." That's perseverance, isn't it? As we begin 2026, I'd like to invite you to join me in reviewing our attitudes to waiting. First, in our relationship with God, then in our relationship with other people, and finally, in the way we treat ourselves. But first, as we can go to the next slide in, patience with God. God is not late, he's strategic. Throughout our walk with the Lord, there are times when he gives us a vision of how we could use our gifts and talents for his glory. Or he gives us a promise. For example, Paul was given a vision to tell non-Jewish people about Jesus. But often, the vision or promise is not fulfilled as quickly as we expect. And we end up feeling like God is running late. But the psalmist said, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." God is not stalling when we find ourselves waiting. He's setting the stage. Remember, Joseph had a dream. He waited 13 years before the dream began to be fulfilled. Think of Jesus. He waited 30 years to begin his public ministry. Often, God does his deepest work in the season of waiting. We get frustrated when we have to wait, not because we don't believe God will come through on the promise he gave us, but because we thought he would have done it by now. Lazarus was dead for 4 days before Jesus showed up. And Martha said, "If you had been there," isn't that what we say? "God, if you had come through last year, if you had come through last week," we may need to update our attitude. You see, God has his own timetable, and patience means trusting his timetable even when it doesn't match ours. Waiting on God isn't passive. Powerful, like it was for Nelson Mandela. It means doing what we can do while trusting God to do what we can't do. Let's go to the next slide here. Patience with others. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle." Be patient. Be isn't waiting on God, it's waiting with people. We all have people in our lives who test our limits, try our patience, and push our buttons. But let's be honest, we've all been that person for someone else. My button was pushed just the other day when I found a small green plastic bag of doggy poo on the lawn outside our section. Who was that inconsiderate dog walker? They should have taken their little treasure with them instead of leaving it for me to clean up. Paul began his description of love with these words: love is patient. Loving people means we need to be patient with them in their weakness, in their maturity, and even when they make mistakes. Patience with others means we stop trying to fix them and start trusting God to do the transforming. I think that's so important. I'll say it again. Patience with others means we stop trying to fix them and start trusting God to do the transforming. Let's go to the next slide. That's Ian. Have you waited at a pedestrian crossing for the lights to change? You press the button, but nothing happens. So you press it again, and again, and still nothing happens. Then you press it harder, even though you know that it doesn't make any difference, but still nothing happens. At times, that is how we treat people. We press and press so that they will change quickly. If only they would choose to do things our way, we think. But God didn't call us to change people. He called us to walk with them supportively. As Paul was closing his letter to the churches in Galatia, he wrote, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Carrying each other's burdens doesn't mean that we carry their sin or enable their dysfunction. It means that we walk with them in grace while God does what only God can do. It means extending grace for their love. And let's go to the next slide. Thanks, Ian. Patience with yourself. The hardest person to be patient with is us. Often, we show grace to others. We pray for them when they fall short. But when it comes to us, we beat ourselves up. We expect perfection when we are still in the process of becoming like Jesus. We're not there yet. And here's the important thing. Just because you are not there yet doesn't mean you're not on the way. God is not finished with us. Paul put it this way: being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we need to stop beating ourselves up because we're not there yet. Rather, we need to know that God is clapping for us because we haven't quit. We've got to go. I hope these thoughts about patience have been both helpful and challenging. Please remember that patience is the fertilizer that nourishes our relationships. And developing patience is not about our self-effort, it's about our partnership with Jesus. Will you join me in embracing His activity in our lives whenever we face challenging situations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and patience with us. Please fill us with the strength and power of your Spirit, so that as we face the tests of life, the fruit of patience will continue to develop in our lives.